Have you got any facts for us about 1989?
Oh yeah, sorry, I thought that's where you were going to put the doodah.
No, right. Do the facts and the charts first, don't we?
Yeah, I thought you were going to do like a doodah. Okay.
A doodah?
I thought you had a jingle for the taking us back in time.
Yeah, but we need to say what we're doing first.
Oh yeah, sorry. Well, okay, Darren. Sorry, buddy.
And welcome to episode 16. It is 16, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking hell. Episode 16 of Darren and Matt's 80s adventure.
No, it's not. It's 17.
Ah, well. Well, you know. Welcome to the next episode of Darren and Matt's 80s adventure.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And this week, we're going to find out why Rambo is a pussy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. This week, we're talking about Tango and Cash.
Yes, yeah. If you are joining us for the first time, though, folks, my name is Matt.
And my name's Darren.
And this is our 80s adventure.
Yes, it is.
And what an adventure it is.
Yes, our weekly journey through the greatest decade in history.
Yeah, and this week it is Tango and Cash.
Yeah, but it might not have been.
It might not have been. No, yes, good point.
Yeah, so as we hinted last week, there were two options for this week's movie, which we put to the Patreon subscribers, and they got to choose which film we looked at.
Yeah, and it was between Overboard
and this one. So a bit of a Kurt Russell week.
Yeah, I like that though. I like picking a star. Yeah, it's good, isn't it? And oh, I'm loving where we're going next week. But then let's get to that later on.
Oh yes, later. Right. Okay. Well, let's crack on with Tango and Cash, I suppose.
Okay, Darren. Well, how about we go back to 1989 with some fun facts?
That sounds good to me.
So 1989 is a year that is getting royally rinsed by us. So I'm finding it harder and harder.
Poor you.
Yeah, all right.
All you got to do is find out some fucking facts.
Okay, well, yeah, I'm just trying to preface it with the fact that when you kind of go, these are really bizarre and uninteresting facts.
Well, I'm looking forward to them.
Okay, so the Ford Motor Company takes over Jaguar in a $1.6 billion deal.
Wow, sis.
Mm-hmm. A record of more than 2.3 million new cars are sold in Britain.
Wow.
And the Escort is Britain's best-selling car for the eighth year running.
The Kevscort.
Yeah, the Escort.
I really want to get a Kevscort.
Did you?
I do now. I want to get like an XR2 or an XR3i or something just to rock up to gigs. I
think rock up. With your guitar.
With my guitar. Oh, okay. Touché, motherfucker.
One of the finest cartoons ever made came to an end when the last episode of Thundercats was broadcast.
What was the finest cartoon ever made?
Well, I said one of the finest cartoons.
Which one was that then?
Thundercats.
Oh, right, okay.
What was your finest cartoon ever made? All right.
Family Ness?
That's Family Ness. Oh, my goodness.
Jamie and the Magic Torch, I don't know.
And also Nigel Mansell.
Yeah.
Won the Brazilian Grand Prix.
Brazilian.
He had one on his face, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Went that way.
And finally, in a moment that captured the British public, Dirty Den was shot.
Was that 89? Oh, I thought it was a bit later. Okay, pretty cool. I remember that. The most ridiculous splosh into water ever. It was crap.
I think I vaguely remember it.
Yeah, he was walking along the canal path, I think.
That's it.
Was it like a guy with a bunch of flowers, and you heard a gunshot, and then it's like... ridiculously old splosh.
Do you think they did it in a reaction to JR being shot?
Probably, yeah.
Who shot Dirty Den?
Yeah, yeah. And then he wasn't dead after all, apparently.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I worked with him once. Here we go. I'm going to have a name drop. I worked with him in Panto, and he was awesome.
Yeah?
I'll tell you a story.
Go on.
But I'll give you a C-bomb warning now. Yeah, we were in Panto, and we went for a meal. My missus came as well, and we were upstairs.
So just the three of you?
No, the whole... well, most of the cast, me and Sayers came along as well, and we were upstairs and sat around chatting and eating and drinking. And Les stood up and came up to Sayers and went, hello, I'm Les. I'll introduce myself, because this fat cunt's not going to introduce me.
Really?
Yeah. But with a massive grin on his face. And I loved him. I thought he was great.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, that's a great story. Yeah, I can imagine him saying that as well.
Yeah. Very, very funny guy.
Oh, great. Well, so those are the facts for 1989.
Sweet.
And hopefully we don't do a 1989 next week, because I'm running really low on facts.
Wow. Well, I mean, I don't know what's coming up next week, do I?
No, Darren, you don't.
No.
But what you do know...
Yes.
...is the charts for 1989.
Yes, I do. Tango and Cash was released in cinemas in the USA on the 22nd of December 1989, so this week we're looking at the UK top 10 for the week commencing the 17th of December 1989. At number 10, it's New Kids on the Block, and You Got It, The Right Stuff. At number 9, falling two places from number 7, it's Linda Ronstadt and Aaron Neville, Don't Know Much. It's a non-mover at number 8 for Tina Turner, and I Don't Want to Lose You. At number 7, climbing two places from last week's number 9, it's Madonna and Dear Jessie. Last week's number 10 is this week's number 6, it's Andy Stewart and Donald Waste Your Trousers. At number 5, it's another non-mover for Kaoma and Lambada. Last week's number 3 is this week's number 4, it's Soul to Soul and Get a Life. Into the top 3, it's Jason Donovan, When You Come Back to Me. At number 2, it's last week's number 1, it's Let's Party from Jive Bunny and the Master Mixers. And at number 1 this week, it's a new entry, it's Band-Aid 2 and Do They Know It's Christmas. And that was the UK top 10 for the week commencing 17th of December 1989.
Great number one.
I know. Great. The last number one of the 80s, and it's Band-Aid. It's the shit version from Stock Aitken and Waterman, but it's still a great song.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, it was weird because when we go through the charts, there's people that I knew, but I didn't know the songs. Like, I didn't know the Madonna song or
Dear Jessie. Oh, Dear Jessie is a really good song.
Is it?
It's really sort of simple, and it's about like a fairy tale type number. It's really nice.
And Donovan's song I didn't know either.
No, I don't. When You Come Back to Me, no, don't recognize that at all. But New Kids on the Block though.
Oh yeah, was it Hang Tough?
No, The Right Stuff.
You got the right stuff.
And of course, at number 9, you got Aaron Neville.
What was the Scottish accent that came out?
Donald, where's your trousers?
What's the trousers?
I can't do it without doing that accent.
No, you can't do it.
I see what you did there. Nice. Donald, where's your trousers? But yeah, just outside the top 10, you've got Robin Raz, Got to Get It In Again, which is a good song. Big Fun, Sydney Youngblood, Erasure, of course, Wet, Wet, Wet. Yeah, nice.
Oh, we'll see Erasure next year.
Yes, we are. Well,
hopefully.
Providing this stupid disease fucks off.
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, next year we'll be fine. In fact, next week will be fine, I'm sure.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Yep. Fingers crossed.
Yes. Okay.
So that was the charts, yeah. Okay. Do you want to go deeper in?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's grease them up and go deeper into Tango and Cash.
I don't know why I said that.
I love it. At this point in the podcast, regular listeners will know that Matt has to sum up the synopsis of the film. Jesus, 1.5 cans down and I can't fucking do it. Matt sums up the synopsis of the film. However many minutes long the film is, that's how many seconds he gets to do the sum up. So, Matthew, how long was the film?
So, Tango and Cash was 1 hour and 44 minutes.
So, you get 1 minute 44 seconds to give us the synopsis of the film. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Let's have the jingle. And go.
The film starts with Tango bravely stopping a drug truck with just a handgun and proclaiming that Rambo is a pussy. Cash is having some mirror time when he gets shot, luckily wearing his vest, and manages to catch the guy, take him to the precinct. He finds out that a deal is going down that night. Unfortunately, the deal is actually a setup by all-round bad dude Parade, or however you say his name, I can't remember. And after meeting at the said place, Tango and Cash find themselves a part of a frame job. They plead no contest, thinking that they'll go to a minimum security prison, but they actually end up in a maximum security prison with a collection of villains they arrested in their past. They're almost killed one night, if not saved by assistant warden Matt, who says that he needs to escape. Cash goes with it. Tango hesitant at first, however, all goes wrong, Matt is found dead. Tango and Cash make it out in a very elaborate fashion. Should Cash ever need Tango, then he's to go to a club and ask for Catherine. The boys separate and investigate. Cash ends up at the club and is smuggled out by Catherine as the police arrive. Back at hers, she is giving Cash a massage when Tango arrives and thinks the two of them are having sexy time. Tango and Cash then play bad cop, worst cop with bad English accent dude who gives up the location of Perrette. They storm the baddie's hideout in a funny SUV and it kicks off royally with explosions left, right and centre. In the compound, he has kidnapped Catherine and Tango and Cash go to confront him. They dispose of bad English accent dude and Perrette, with Tango and Cash Catherine running out of the building as it explodes. They high-five and a newspaper lets us know they've been cleared of all charges.
Okay then. Yeah, have a breath. Right. Woo! So how long was the film?
Hour 44.
Hour 44. So you had 1 minute 44 seconds to give us the synopsis.
Mm-hmm.
You did it in...
6 hours 47 minutes.
Well, let's find out. Drum roll. 1 minute 27 seconds.
Oh, my goodness.
20 seconds under. Yeah, impressive.
That's the first time I've been called impressive for doing it quickly.
I'm not saying a word. Anyway, I knew that was exactly the place you were going to get in sexy time.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, but I'd like to know where you think I'm going to get sexy time. That sounded weird.
What? Huh? I don't know. How much cash have you got?
Tango.
Hey.
Yeah. There was not a lot of other places you could put sexy. I mean, there was prison.
In the shower.
Yeah, looked like it, didn't it, at one point? Easy, yeah. Pal, I'm just picking up the soap.
Hey, Pee-wee. Oh, shit, that's my quote gone. Yeah, so there we go. Initial reaction, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, before we do our initial reaction, would you like to hear Watch With Mother?
I love Watch With Mother.
So I didn't know what she was going to go with this week, because I thought Tango and Cash is quite... She was like, what's it about? I said, I'm not telling you. I thought she was going to think it was about a drink or something like that. But here we are, the Tango and Cash pre.
Right, good evening, Mother.
Good evening, Matthew.
Do you want to say hello to Darren?
Hi, Daz.
Hello, Darren. Do you want to say hello to the listeners?
Hello, listeners.
Right, so this week's film, we are watching Tango and Cash. Any idea what Tango and Cash is about?
Two policemen.
What makes you think it's two policemen?
Because it sounds a bit like a chips thing.
Okay, right, okay. I thought you were going to go down the route if it sounds like a soft drink and some money. All right, let's have a look, see what we think.
Nice, see, she's on the ball.
She really was on the ball. I was like, how did you do that? How did she know? But yeah, so she somehow got a spot on the money.
Excellent.
And this is her review.
Okay, so we have just finished Tango and Cash. So, Mother, what is your reaction?
Cheesy.
Yeah, but?
I really enjoyed it, and it was really, really good. Different. Start slow, then, really good.
You're really expanding on these reviews, aren't you? Okay, right. Well, let's see what you think about next week's.
It started off with a one-line review. Now she's gone, cheesy.
Cheesy.
Yeah, starts off with this, does this, this. I was like, she's really going for it now, isn't she?
All right, Barry Norman.
That's it. I think in the next few weeks, we're just going to have to leave a half an hour section for Wendy to do a review.
Wender's review.
So that's what she thought of it. So what about us then, buddy?
I'm pretty much with Wendy there. Yeah.
Cheesy.
Typical 80s action movie. Mm-hmm. I think it's a bit of a throwback to earlier in the decade action movies.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's a bad thing.
No.
I really enjoyed it.
I think I'm the same, actually, mate.
Yeah.
I think what it suffers from, and reading about it afterwards, you can kind of see it, is there was a lot of change of direction and things like that throughout the film. So
really?
I think you can sort of see that. It's a bit muddled in places, but thoroughly enjoyable.
Yeah. One of the first things I wrote down was Roadhouse, because it looked so much like... it could have easily been Swayze playing Cash.
Well, funny you say that.
Oh, really?
I've got some alternate casting, yeah. And actually, he was in there.
Was he?
He was, first of all, booked to play Cash.
See, that doesn't surprise me in the slightest. In the slightest.
That's brilliant. That is awesome.
Yeah, it's, like I say, typical 80s movie, bad accents, bad acting, over-the-top explosions, great synth soundtrack, and loads of boobs.
There were a lot of boobs, weren't there?
Says, kept pointing out, watch out now, pointless boob shot. And I went, there's no such thing as a pointless boob shot,
no,
woman.
Absolutely not.
Sit down, woman, be quiet. I never said that.
You never said that.
What's not to love, though?
This is a lot of fun bits. I mean, the whole... I do distinctly remember, because I've not watched it in a long time.
Right.
I distinctly remember the opening bit where he calls Rambo a pussy. I thought, how meta. And I do remember that and him shooting the truck.
I don't think I've ever watched this film all the way through.
Oh, really? Just watch the booby bits?
Well, apart from that, I remember watching it first, because, again, it's one of those that I had on not strictly legal copy. And I remember the opening really, really well. Crystal clearly remember the opening. And then I remember watching up to about when they went into prison, and I think I probably got bored and turned it off.
All right.
And I don't think I've ever watched the end of the film until last night.
I think I must have seen it. Well, I've seen it all the way through, because it's quite a collection of films, isn't it?
Yeah. Is it ever?
It's an escape film.
Yep.
It's a buddy cop comedy.
Yeah. It's good cop, bad cop, get together.
Mm-hmm. Action and boobies, big explosion sequence towards the end.
Ridiculous, just ridiculous, but fantastic.
In the weirdest little car though.
Yeah, but also when they're driving the trucks, the dumper trucks, they're driving along and there's an explosion like 60 feet to their right for no reason whatsoever. And then another one over there, and then another one over there. Brilliant.
The explosion budget on this must have been astronomical.
And why were the electrical cables sparking in the rain? They don't do that.
Well, because
nothing was impossible in the 80s.
Especially getting, is that like, what was it? I can't even think of the word. It's not a death slide. It's you're doing a zip line.
Yeah.
A zip line across some power cables that they weren't powering something.
Yeah. Well, yeah, let's just work through the film then, I suppose.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the opening sequence, I say, is crystal clear in my memory. I really like
it. Yeah, it's quite iconic, isn't it?
Yeah, but I have to be honest. Stallone is not good. He's not good at it. When he's trying to play a lighter character, he just can't do it.
I think he might have been better in, maybe the Cash role. I see what you're saying, that he's trying to make himself, he's acting,
it's a rude thing to say, but I just don't think he can do it. He's not a very funny actor. But when he tries to be funny, it's actually a bit painful.
Okay.
For me.
I mean, yeah, it would have gone so badly wrong at the beginning if he was wrong. Imagine that. So he shoots that tanker.
They wouldn't have known much about it, would they?
Well, no, they wouldn't. They wouldn't. Yeah, the guy stood on top of it like, oh, yeah, hot shot. And they work in very different areas, don't they?
Yes. But, I mean, there's so much to like about the film. Kurt Russell is just fantastic. Gotta love him.
When isn't he? That's one of my questions for you.
Well, yeah, never.
Don't you normally call him Sir Kurt Russell?
Sir, Mr. The Lord Kurt Russell, yeah.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he's great. And he's one of the best Father Christmases ever. One of the best Father Christmases ever. And I can't wait. The sequel comes out soon.
Woo-hoo! Doesn't it?
Yeah. Can't wait for that.
I mean, he's really posing in that mirror, isn't he?
Oh, God, is he ever.
But it gets going quite quickly, this film. It doesn't hang about.
Nope, not at all.
Especially in a 1 minute 44. 1 minute 44? 1 hour 44.
Well, that's what you had, yeah. The action sequences are fantastic. But again, like I say, some of the acting's a bit all over the shop. Jack Palance, who's normally really reliable, is so over the top, it's quite painful. But he's still, his acting chops are superb. He's still really good.
I'd forgotten he was in this.
Yeah?
Yeah. So, I look forward to chatting about him. But, I'd forgotten he was in it.
Yeah. It's just a very strange...
It's a quite cartoony bad man.
Yes, yeah. And not, as we normally say, he's not quite on the right side this time of pantomime.
No, it's a little bit... This is going to sound harsh, and I don't mean this Jack Palance, but it's a little bit like Dr. Claw from Inspector Gadget. You know, he's coming up with this elaborate plan to get rid of Tango and Cash.
Yeah, and it just never happens.
Yeah.
And it jumps around so much. You know, woman is saying, we'll get him for this. And then something happens and you don't actually see a reaction, but he's saying, we'll get him for that. And then it's like there's stuff missing. And I don't know if there was originally a longer cut and they took a load out. But it doesn't always make sense for me, the film. And there's two fucking goons that are with him. God, they're useless.
Oh, you're talking about the British accent guy?
No, it's not Kwan, is it Kwan?
Tweedledama, Tweedledama.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Yeah. One guy, the Asian guy, can't fucking smoke and can't decide which fucking hand he's going to hold it in either. There's so many continuity errors in this that it's not very good to watch sometimes, but maybe it's because I'm watching it with more of a critical eye. Mm-hmm. Takes me out and I notice it more. But
well, I think because I mean I don't know if you came across this either, but there was a lot of like the director was replaced, and then a lot of reports saying that Stallone was kind of acting and directing at the same time. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, during production?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Apparently, hell. They were replaced towards the end of principal photography.
Towards the end.
Mm.
Fucking hell, that's...
So the director says that this is IMDb, so it could be false.
Okay.
He says that the reason he was fired was because he wanted to give the film a more serious tone than the producers wanted. He says Stallone was great. He was a constant voice of reason and things like that.
Maybe that makes a bit more sense then.
Yeah, I suppose if there is a lot of trouble behind the scenes, producers and directors fighting, I think it does. You do see a bit of a mishmash with this film, but I don't think it suffers too much. But it could have been a bit more. The film could have been better.
It could have been slicker. I think. But Christ, we're replacing the director towards the end of principal photography. That's wow.
I think if this film had been a bit better, we'd have probably had a slew of sequels.
Yes. Yeah, I think you're right. you know, look at Lethal Weapon.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
Yeah, which is head and shoulders above this, I think. Same sort of thing.
Richard Donner, though, isn't it?
Of course, of course.
Love Donner.
And he's never been replaced on a bit.
Oh, yeah. Awkward. What a cool connection you just made, Darren. That's brilliant. Well, I don't think we're going to beat that connection. So join us next time on Darren and Matt's 80s Adventure. That was really, yeah, that was cool, man. Yeah,
nice,
good.
Thanks. But yeah, actually, moving on then, the Cockney guy. Oh, dear God. Yeah.
I get it, right? But also, you got to understand, if like, okay, we've got listeners in America, you must understand what it's like when a British guy goes across, plays an American with a really bad American accent. Yeah. It must really grind your gears. Same here, when you've got a guy that's clearly not from London.
I mean, a British accent is one thing, but trying to do a Cockney accent, I was expecting at one point for him to burst into Step in Time. Do you know what I mean? Fucking hell.
Hello, Mary Poppins.
Bollocks, mate. It's bollocks. Jesus. So, yeah, I mean, that took me out a bit.
Yeah, that took me out a little bit too. But I did enjoy the scene where they shove a grenade down down his pants. And, yeah. Well, no.
It's in his mouth.
In his mouth, first of all, isn't
it?
But
then he puts it down his pants anyway.
Yeah. And that was it. But also, hanging off a building, I'd be pissing myself with fear.
Yeah.
I'd be telling them what the fuck they wanted to know.
I'd sing like a fucking canary.
It doesn't matter in which method you're going to die.
Exactly.
There's a grenade in your mouth.
Yeah.
Or you're being hung off a building.
It's 80, so it's always over the top. But I mean, electrocuting people in a vat of water, they're not going to walk away from that.
No. Yeah, I think you're right. And now the more I look at it and talk it through with you, there's no real reason behind Jack Palance's... if we'd have seen at the beginning them doing something to interfere with, like, this is the last straw. But it almost comes out of nowhere, like, oh, yeah. I mean, yes, they did take his drugs and whatever else.
Yeah,
but it wasn't... I don't know.
Yeah, you just hear about stuff rather than actually see stuff. And the whole thing with the rats, I was worried all the time, you know, he was going to, like, hurt the rats. So we had the film as well. You bastard. But, I mean, that never happens, thank God. But I mean, it sounds like we've been really negative.
No, we're not. We're just picking it apart.
Set pieces.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the truck at the opening is a good set piece. The whole prison fight thing is a good set piece. The characters in the prison, the guy with the slinky, is...
Ron Howard's brother.
Is it Ron Howard's brother? Yeah. Oh my God! Okay, I mean, he's funny, crazy. Owen is a very funny character, a little bit over the top. The whole SUV thing going into the compound at the end, great set piece.
I love that line when Kurt Russell walks into his prison cell. He's like, "That's my toilet, by the way." And he's like, "Hang on a second." And the guy stands with me. That is your toilet. Yeah.
I mean, he's just a very funny actor, anyway, isn't he?
Yeah.
Thank God they had him.
Well, I Swayze in a minute, I suppose, when we get onto the casting. But yeah, I think he would have been an interesting cash.
Yeah, I think it's just basically, for me, it was like a Roadhouse.
Even his hair looks similar.
Even his hair. Well, it was the bit where they're breaking into Bad Hair Dude's flat.
I love the names we've got for these people.
Bad Hair, Bad Accent, flat, when they're breaking in. It just looks like Swayze there.
Yeah, he really looks like Swayze.
Yeah.
The end felt a bit, I know it sounds weird, a bit over the top because of all these explosions.
Yeah. But then again, it was the 80s and there was a lot of that. And I didn't have a problem. It was daft. But I like a bit of daft every now and then. It's never going to win any awards for quality.
I bet you a young Michael Bay sat watching that going, that's what I want to do from now on is explosions.
And obviously there's Terry Hatcher.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we'll take a short break.
Forget it, I'm done. The one thing this film has given us is FUBAR.
Yes.
And how cool is FUBAR?
FUBAR is brilliant.
Yeah. And I didn't realise before, this is where it came from.
I love FUBAR.
Yeah.
I love FUBAR.
And I love Terry Hatcher.
I love Terry Hatcher too, yes. Is there anything else you want to say before we kind of go into the cast?
No, I don't think so. I think
it's just a good fun
actually,
film.
There was another little dig there when they come out of the prison.
Mm.
They talk about coffee in Danish.
Oh,
and he says,
yes.
"I hate Danish."
Yeah, he'd just been divorced, didn't he?
Wasn't she Danish?
Yeah. That's one of the facts I got actually. That was a dig at her.
It was actually a dig.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did wonder.
Mm-hmm. I did wonder.
Yeah, that's funny.
Naughty. It's funny, but naughty.
You'd do that, though. You'd make a dig like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, on that note, I suppose we should take a little break.
Yeah, let's recharge our glasses. You do the same if you're drinking along with us. Ooh. And we'll be right back. What's going on? Are you all right, Daz?
I'm so cold.
Why are you so cold?
I've lost my favourite Def Leppard t-shirt. Oh, if only I knew somewhere else to buy another t-shirt.
Do you know what, Darren? It's funny you should say that because we now have 80s Adventure t-shirts.
What?
Yeah. All you've got to do is head over to 80sadventure.com, click shop and see what we have on offer. It's a way of supporting the show and there's also some fun designs with a lovely 80s feel.
80s Adventure t-shirts. Oh, I'm going to go to the shop right now. Bye.
Darren, it's an online shop.
And we're back. Yes, part two of our look at Tango and Cash. And should we just crack on and look straight at the turns? Or have you got some?
I do have some alternate casting. You stumbled upon one earlier, which was Patrick Swayze. But first of all, let's talk about Catherine.
I could talk about Catherine all night. Well, for at least 3 minutes.
She was originally to be played by Daphne Ashbrook.
Oh, I know Daphne Ashbrook very well.
I thought you would, because yes, she's also in...
She was Grace in Doctor Who.
Doctor Who, yeah, that's right.
I can see that.
She was in Falcon Crest, but that was when she was not supposed to be Tango's biological sister, but possibly adopted. And then when they decided to make it biological, they wanted somebody that resembled Stallone a bit more, so they got Terry Hatcher in.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah. Nice. We had Swayze, he was actually originally cast, and then he dropped out to star in Roadhouse.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that makes perfect sense.
And so, do you know what? Great, because otherwise we wouldn't have Roadhouse. There was a couple of other contenders. Pierce Brosnan's name was being thrown around.
But as Cash?
Yeah.
No,
but I suppose, was he big with Remington Steele then or something?
Yeah, but he would have been more of the straight man.
Mm.
Okay.
Because I think Stallone was always going to be Tango. Kevin Costner?
Liam
Neeson?
No.
The one I think might be okay would have been Bruce Willis.
I can definitely see that. Yeah.
And there was a little rumour going around, but apparently it's not true, that they wanted Schwarzenegger to play Cash just so that they could have Stallone and Schwarzenegger on sharing the screen.
That would have been a real... the pair of them butting heads over production.
Yeah, maybe.
Wow. Okay.
And also sort of being smuggled out of the club in a dress.
Yeah.
So those are the alternate castings that I have.
Nice.
Right. So, well, should we go with the boys first? Yeah, the actual Tango and Cash.
Let's look at Mr. Stallone, shall us?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's, like I say, I think he's a bit miscast in this. I think, or not miscast. I think he tries to be, rather than just be the straight man,
mm-hmm.
and Kurt Russell's the sidekick, if you like, he tries to be a bit funny as well. And that, for me, does not work. I don't think he has the... God, it sounds really rude me saying this. And I don't mean it to, but I just don't think he has the comedy chops. He's very much a straight actor.
Mm-hmm. I think I disagree a little bit. I think later on in life, he does play those sort of roles a lot. If you think about same sort of role in Demolition Man, cop that gets set up and has to redeem his name and things like that. But also he gets funnier throughout the years. But I think where he was meant to be this I don't know, stock genius or whatever else, or he liked to trade money. He liked the finer things in life.
It's just a mishmash of confused ideas. For me. And I don't think he 100% pulls it off. Oh, you're such a child.
But it wasn't bad.
It's not a bad performance by any means. I just don't think he's as funny as he wanted to be in the film. And I don't think he needed to be. He should have just been the straight role and let Kurt Russell have the comedic elements.
Yeah, a little bit like Taggart and Rosewood in in Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah, yeah. And then I think the comedy then would have come out naturally because of that.
Mm-hmm. Also, a good person to be with him was Kurt Russell. Fantastic. I mean, in the end, he's just... I love him.
Yeah. He's great in everything I've ever seen him in, as we've said before.
I think if it's not Swayze playing Cash, then Russell is a very, very good alternative.
It's the correct alternative for me.
Do you know what, though? I could see Swayze playing Cash, but I could also see Kurt Russell playing Dalton. I mean, I don't know. Roadhouse was a long time ago. Yeah. He might have been an alternate casting. I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
But Kurt Russell, I suppose Kurt Russell's got more of that. Swayze's charming, but Kurt Russell's got that naughty little...
He has, yeah. He's got that naughty element. I don't want to take anything away from Swayze in Roadhouse because he's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But like you say, yeah, I can see Russell doing that as well.
Mm, yeah. Great guy. And obviously wants to date his sister.
Who doesn't? We said about lots of leading ladies. She's beautiful, absolutely beautiful, mm-hmm. in this. And, she's a She's a spunky character. She gets to do a bit, and the bit on the motorbike when Russell's in drag.
Yeah.
The pair of them, they're just so funny. They're brilliant.
Yeah, she's... I'm just trying to quickly look up and see how early in her career this was.
Well, it's definitely pre-Superman, isn't it?
1989, so, I mean, she'd been working for a few years, yeah. But she's just a really nice, dependable performer, and it's a nice part. Although, you know, she did get a bit relegated, as often happens in the 80s, to she was kidnapped for no reason, really.
The reason was to get her running out of the thing at the end in a very tight top with a very loose bra. I think that's the only reason. And my wife did actually say to me, "Are you all right? Do you want me to leave you alone for a second?"
So you definitely did watch it in 4K, didn't you?
I definitely did. But yeah, we had this conversation. Me and Sez had this conversation last night, and when it finished, she said, "I fucking love that film. I think it's great. I loved it at the time, and I'm really glad. I still love it now." And we talked about the whole fact it was more of a sausage fest. We said, you know, who cares?
Yeah.
We'd love to see a film like this made now, because mainly it would piss off all the social justice wankers.
But
make that sort of film now with just a buddy cop movie, people just blowing stuff up. No, just who cares what all this social justice crap is about? I'm going off on one now.
Oh, yes, you are, aren't you? All right, let's move Cronenberg away.
It's just a fucking film. It's just a bloody film. And who cares? It's great.
Just that she felt very shoehorned in at the end, you know, as in, like, they could have gone and got him anyway.
At least she made it into the end. They could have just left her out.
Yeah. I suppose there was never going to be a big fight scene with Jack Palance, was there?
No, not really. Not his age.
Well, he did City Slickers and stuff in the 90s, didn't
actually,
he?
Yeah. But he was for another 17 years,
yeah. Yeah, he was...
He was in Young Guns, wasn't he?
Still never seen it.
What?
I've never seen Young Guns. Never seen it.
Unbelievable. Well, that's one that's definitely got to be on the list.
It is on the...
maybe two on the list.
I think two might be the 90s, but I could be wrong.
I don't know offhand. I can't remember.
Yeah, spunky Terry Hatcher. Palance himself, then. We touched on it earlier.
A bit OTT. Mm-hmm. Still a fantastic actor when you look at his body of work. He's so good. Just for me in this, it doesn't quite work.
Also, kind of a very forgettable baddie's name.
I just had to look at it. Perrette.
Yves Perrette or...
Yves Perrette, yeah.
Yves, is it?
I'd say Eve, but I don't
Eve?
Know.
Yeah, so it's no Hans Gruber, is it?
No. That's true. Obsessed with rats, and, you know, that's fine. Rats are cool. It's very, very two-dimensional. And his goons, Juan and Lopez. Fucking hell. Just useless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Let's talk about his other...
Requeen.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
All right, mate.
Bollocks.
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 Mary poor Poppins.
Is he... Is he American?
Oh, I really hope so. Otherwise, we've just been...
Yeah, he's from California.
Yeah.
I mean, poor guy. Poor bloody guy.
I think I read something, and I could be wrong. I think I read something that he was meant to only have two lines, and then they did the British accent.
Right.
And they kind of made more of a part for him because they thought it sounded...
Okay. Yeah. I mean, he's done a lot. He was in Blade Runner and 48 Hours, another 48 Hours. And Enemy Mine, one of my favourite films from the... You never seen Enemy Mine?
No. Nope.
See, that surprised me because as a sci-fi lover, I thought you'd have watched it.
I don't think I've ever heard of it.
It's one of the Quaid brothers and he crashes on a planet with an alien. They're enemies and they have to work together.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I remember watching it at a Doctor Who convention and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I'd really like this.
You dropped that in quite subtly, thinking we'll get past. You went to a Doctor Who convention, did
so,
you?
So, yeah. Yeah, I can be a nerd sometimes, Matt.
Yes, no, good.
Yeah.
I mean, the captains and their work colleagues, they're all pretty forgettable.
They are, but there was one guy, and it's Cash's captain, if I remember right.
Yeah, he's more prominent, isn't he?
Yeah. He's the guy who gets Stallone sees when Sexy Time.
Mm-hmm.
It's potentially happening.
Yes.
And I was like, where the fuck do I remember him? And it's like, of course, he makes this really, really big impression in Salem's Lot, which is 70s, so we shouldn't really talk about it. But it's a Stephen King thing, and I just remember him with glowing eyes and being all possessed. He's fantastic in that.
He's done an awful lot, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he really has.
What's his name? It's...
Jeffrey Lewis.
Yes, he is very distinct looking. Yes. Yeah, I remember him in lots, actually, growing up.
Yeah. Terrifying look as well. Really terrifying.
And I can't believe you didn't clock Ron Howard's brother.
No, I didn't realise it was Ron Howard's brother.
Yeah, well, he's always in a lot of Ron Howard films, so you see him in like Apollo 13.
Which one is
he? He's the guy with the slinky.
So it's Slinky?
Yeah. I think he's credited as Ron Howard's brother. Yeah, he always crops up in a lot of Ron Howard films.
Right. Well, makes sense, I suppose.
Yeah, and he's Clint Howard. And he's it's a face that you recognise.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't really name any other films he's been in. But like you say, he's a familiar face that you recognise and stuff. A very, very small part, but very memorable.
Mm.
What he does with it is very...
a small part, very memorable, but what he does with it.
That's going to be on my headstone. Anyway, moving swiftly on.
I thought it was the title of your book.
Anyway, yes. And then, of course, there's Michael Jeter, or Jetta,
mm-hmm.
who plays Skinner. Do you remember him? He was the guy who recorded the sound. He was the sound expert.
Oh,
guy.
Yeah. I don't recognise him from anywhere, really.
See, we were both sat there going, who the hell is he? And then Sayers had a look. It's the guy from Green Mile. You seen Green Mile? Mr. Jingles with the mouse?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Jingles.
Oh, God, I'm going to cry now. Yeah, so that's him. He's great. I really like him. It's for me, he's that sort of Rick Moranis type actor.
Oh yeah. Did you hear about him this week?
I heard, yeah, let's not talk about that yet.
Somebody punching him. You don't punch Sir Rick Moranis.
Bastards.
I mean, obviously, this news will be a few weeks old by the time this one goes out, but yeah, damn you.
Just broke 2 days ago, 3 days ago, something like that. Yeah, fucking bastard.
How dare you punch Rick Moranis?
Well, what? Just completely unprovoked attack. How do you punch anyone? But
let alone Rick Moranis.
I'm going to drop the C-bomb again. Cunt! Anyway, yes, moving on. Edward Bunker's in it again. We had Edward Bunker, or Eddie Bunker, as he was, what other film did he do that we watched? Is it Roadhouse he's in?
Well, I don't know. You can't be in Roadhouse and Tango and Cash at the same time, can you?
Good point. unless you're very talented. Obviously, Reservoir Dogs.
Running Man.
Yes, of course it was. Yeah, Eddie Bunker. I mean, he's got a really distinctive look as well.
Yeah, I recall him from Best of the Best as well.
Of course, yeah.
But there's a lot of familiar faces. That's what we're saying. In this film, there's a lot of familiar faces, but yet they don't all do an awful lot.
Roy Brocksmith, very familiar face. I couldn't tell you where I remember him from. Probably Arachnophobia, I think. And the woman, Susan Krebs, she's the prosecutor in the court. I recognise her, but I couldn't tell you where from. I've had a look through and it doesn't ring a bell. But I mean, that court scene as well for me is very, very funny.
Yes.
Just the whole Stallone standing up and giving his impassioned, beautiful speech.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. And then Kurt Russell standing up and going, it's fucking horseshit or whatever it is. Just... It's beautiful.
It's absolutely
stuff
brilliant.
Like that really lists the film. But back to the cast.
No. I think we've pretty much covered them, haven't we?
No, Face.
Have we not? Face.
Face. And what an appropriate name. That guy's face is massive. Enormous.
Yeah.
But I do remember him as well from one of the, well, probably his biggest role as Maniac Cop.
Oh, my goodness. I've never seen those, but I remember the video covers.
Yeah, and I think there were that spawned loads of sequels as well. But I remember watching the first one, because on a Saturday night, my auntie and uncle, Aunt Wynne and Uncle Tony, God rest their souls, would come round and we'd have like a film night with mum and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And Maniac Cop was one of the films that we watched. And it was great. It's a bad, bad film, but I love it because it's so bad. But I mean, that guy's jaw. I don't know much about him. Was he in an accident or something? Because that doesn't look natural.
I don't know. But I'm sorry, I'm laughing at Maniac Cop 3, Badge of Silence.
You laugh, but that could easily be a Police Academy
He was also in Samurai Cop.
Oh, okay. Well, he carved out a niche for himself.
Yeah, I mean, he worked. He certainly worked.
But I mean, that face, did he have an accident? Was it rebuilt?
Because
I mean, that just... Wow.
Maybe just did a lot of Tom Cruise jaw acting, you know?
Maybe he had like a little dumbbell for his jaw.
Quagmire.
Yes. Giggity.
It's quite an interesting cast, but a lot of them are underused.
Totally. They don't really get a chance to shine, do they?
No. No. It is the Kurt Russell and Stallone show, though, isn't it? Yeah. More Stallone show, I think.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I think we've just had fun with it, buddy.
Exactly. And there's no point going too deep into this because it just doesn't stand up to it, does it?
No, I mean it's not Arnie doing Shakespeare. It's not not Van Damme dancing. You know.
Why did you have to bring that up again?
I'll tell you what, buddy. How about we go grab another beer?
I'm gonna have to be physically sick because you brought that up.
You go be sick. We'll grab another drink, okay. And then we'll come back and talk about Harold Faltermeyer's music.
Woo-hoo!
And the quiz. Daz, have you heard of Patreon?
No.
Well, back along, you could become a patron of a show, etc. You can do exactly the same thing now, but in a modern twist.
What, like for our show?
Yeah, for our show, yeah.
Okay, tell me more.
So what you can do is support us by signing up to patreon.com/80sadventure. There's four different tiers at the moment. But
what, so people pay and that enables us to do...
Yeah, well, more stuff, but yeah, also great. There's rewards for them as well, ranging, you know, from a very small reward right up to bigger rewards and a lot more fun content from us.
So what could people get in return?
You can get early access, you can get your name on your website as a supporter,
nice.
You can get a vote on one of the episodes we do each month.
What, people actually get to vote on what film?
Yeah, and also maybe a Q&A, something like that, have a few drinks with us.
Fantastic.
So yeah. All you have to do is head to patreon.com/80sadventure.
I'm on my way now. Bye!
And we're back.
Yes, we are. Episode 3. Part 3. Do the episode thing again. Maybe it's the Doctor Who part of my brain. Part 3 of Tango and Cash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then this is where we talk about the music, and then we try and screw each other?
I don't remember that bit.
It's in the Patreon episode.
Why haven't we been paid yet?
That's why
I always wake up really sore on a Monday, isn't it?
And this is always a section where we've had way too much beer. All right, music then.
Music. Obviously, it's the great Harold Faltermeyer again.
He is cool, isn't he?
Like I said, obviously, because it is fucking obvious. Going back to the bit where he's going into the bad hair guy's flat.
Yeah.
It just recalls Beverly Hills Cop for me. That sort of creeping Eddie Murphy when he goes through the warehouse and stuff. Fantastic.
I mean, it's not instantly recognisable.
Nope, there's no themes that you go, oh, I remember that one.
Yeah, oh that's definitely Tango and Cash. Yeah, yeah.
And again, musically, it's in the style of the film as well. It's a throwback to maybe the sort of mid-80s, soundtrack-wise and synth. I think things had moved on a bit. You know, it's 1989 now. The film was released in the last week, pretty much, of 1989. 22nd of December, I think we said.
Yeah.
So it's one of the last films of the decade.
And we're lucky to get it.
Yes, we are. Yeah. But, you know, for the music to still be that sort of style,
mm-hmm.
is even then, I suppose, it's retro, if you like.
Yeah.
But that's no bad thing for me.
It's not. I didn't know it was Harold Faltermeyer.
Right.
And then it got to the end and went, music by Harold Faltermeyer. I went, of course it
was. Of course. Of course.
It's one of those things that you kick yourself afterwards and go, I should have clocked that.
Yeah. And there's some great original songs in it. And there's two amazing songs. Two of my favourite songs from the decade.
Go on then.
Alice Cooper's Poison
mm-hmm.
is in there. I mean, what a tune. And what I didn't realise, shock of all shocks, why they would use, never in a million years would I have thought they would have ever used Don't Go by Yazoo.
See, I think I must have had more vodka when I was watching this
than
I thought, because I can't remember that.
It's the bit where she comes out, or you know, in the club.
Oh, with the fans?
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't listening to the music.
Well, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. I can't
hang on,
that.
It was a watch with mother, so...
Oh, yeah. What a fucking tune that
is. It's a great tune.
I mean, I'm in love with Alison Moyet anyway, so...
Let's name drop together.
Oh?
We saw Alison Moyet, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
We went to watch the Graham Norton show being recorded.
Yes, we did. Yeah. That was a good night.
And who was on it? So it was David Tennant, clearly, because we went for the Doctor Who.
Never. Yeah.
and then there was Johnny Vegas.
Yeah. And Alison Moyet. Yeah, it was just before...
Just before Matt Smith took over, was it? Or?
Yeah. Just before Doctor Who was taken off air, basically, replaced with this other shit. But
oh dear, Darren.
And actually, a friend of ours who is a big fan of the podcast was in those last two episodes, wasn't he?
Oh yes.
Little name drop for you there, Simon.
That was a really nice night out, Alison Moyet, and she just performed All Cried Out. I think
All
it
Cried
was...
Out, yeah. Oh, what, what I say. I love her. I've always loved her. I think she's fantastic. And just to, you know, I'm a big fan of Yazoo and Anson Moye. When that song came, I was like, yeah, fucking get in there. That's just turned the film up another notch for me.
There we go. Well, maybe that will reflect in your score.
No.
No, okay. Is there anything more to say on the music, buddy?
I mean, there's lots of other things in there as well. Like Harold Faltermeyer. I don't think it was just Harold Faltermeyer, was it? It's another guy as well.
I kind of, you know what? You must have noticed this. I kind of sneakily just, the music's your bag. You're very good at music. So I kind of go, yeah, let's just, I never really look into the music at all. I let you deal with that.
Yeah, so Harold Faltermeyer, I think there might have been some music done by like a deputy composer as well. But yeah, it's a great soundtrack. There's some other songs in there as well that I don't really recognise, performed by The Call and Bad English, Kenneth Babyface Edmonds, Dark Town Strutter. I don't recognise his names. I'm sorry if any of you are listening.
I mean, just this is, you know, an either or. So if you had to own one on record or CD, whatever else, yeah, would it be the Tango and Cash soundtrack or the Kickboxer soundtrack? I mean, I... Okay, moving on then from...
it's got Yazoo on it, so it's got to be Tango and
Cash.
It's got
to be Tango and
Cash. And it's Harold Faltermeyer. Duh.
He's great.
He is, yeah.
In fact, there must be a compilation of his greatest hits out there.
I'd be very surprised if there wasn't.
Well, let's look it up soon.
Let's have a look-see.
Yeah, if we remember.
No, we won't.
All right then, how about we go to quiz?
Eyes down for a full house. Okay, so as it stands, I believe it's
4-2 to you,
to moi. So I will make a little note as we go along. Here we go. 4-2 so far.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go first this week or second?
I'd love to go first.
Okay.
What are the first words we hear in the film?
Oh, it's something over the radio, isn't it? I downloaded the film. And we started watching it last night, and it was all in Russian. The version I downloaded stupidly was the Russian language version. I didn't have the English soundtrack, so I had to download it again. It's something like heading south on Highway 52. I don't know.
So the first words are, I think it's actually Stallone goes, "Okay, let's do it."
Oh, fucking! Of course it is. It's over the actual.
Yes.
Yeah, the logo isn't.
Yeah. So the first words are, "Okay, let's do it."
You twonk! I knew that.
Yes.
Uno to Macho.
1 point.
Uno.
Here we go.
Okay, first question for you then. What was Cash called in the newspaper?
I almost used this as a question for you.
Oh, really?
But I've forgotten. So, yep. He was called, I don't know, Hero.
He was called, is that your final answer, brother?
Yeah.
Downtown Clown.
That was it, yeah.
Okay, so that's one to me then. It's going to be one of those fucking weeks.
It's going to be one of those weeks. All right. Question two for you.
Yes.
What did Tango's captain say about marriage?
It's staring him in the eye?
It's close.
Right.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, I can't remember.
I'd love to give you that, but it's okay. It's like staring death in the eye.
Oh, bollocks. Yeah, I remember something about an eye. Okay. Yeah. All right, so that's two to you, one to me.
You know, 1 week we'll do a quiz where we get them all right as
yeah,
well, as opposed
to
us both.
Really like... fucked. Do I do that? Yeah. What did Cash use as his first weapon in the film?
What did Cash use as his first weapon? Didn't he just... He chucked something at the guy, didn't he? I must have drank too much vodka. A hairdryer.
No, it's boots with guns in. It's his gun boots.
Oh, I love the gun boots. Yeah. We didn't talk about
that's
that.
So Bond. That's Owen again, isn't it? It's gun boots. Fucking hell, two each. Jeez.
Okay, this is kind of, it's got two bits to this question.
Oh, okay.
So this is question three for you. What month did Cash say he was born, and what date and month was he actually born?
Oh, you bastard. Uh, He said he was born in February and his actual birthday was 16th of August.
You can't.
See? And you're going, I almost put both of those down as a question, but I only put his actual birthday. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, then.
That's right.
Ooh, that's three to me, two to you.
Oh, we can't go this route, Darren. There'll be no jeopardy for the final week.
You know, you have to get this next question right then. It's a complete the quote, as always, for my third question.
I regret drinking vodka when I was watching this.
It's Tango Cash and, well, it's Tango and Cash. Tango says, do you think he's telling the truth? Cash says, I don't know, but it's not raining and he's standing in a puddle.
What now?
Tango says,
No. I was in disbelief at like, what the fuck? Oh, hang on. Now I'm getting it. Do you think he's telling the truth? Yeah, okay. I remember whereabouts in the film this was. I don't know what comes next, though. Damn it.
Well,
he just wet himself. He just wet himself. And it's like, oh, no, go on then. You win.
Okay. Do you think he's telling the truth? I don't know. But it's not raining and he's standing in a puddle. Disgusting.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, wow. Four to me.
That's
shameful, Matt.
It is shameful.
You really need to do your more research. Wowzers. Okay. Well, that overall, then, that's five to me, two to you.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to win the next three just to level up.
I am. Yeah.
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 Good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck indeed. Wow, that was the quiz. So what's the time for now?
Oh, but I guess it's time for last orders.
Yeah, drink myself into a stupor for losing all the quizzes.
Yeah, bitch.
Last orders at the bar, please. Last orders at the bar.
Well, that was Tango and Cash.
That was Tango and Cash. Yeah, yeah, I mean, I think we've covered it. We said it was enjoyable, a bit mishmash.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, but it's never going to win any awards for quality. But what it does win, I suppose, is the crown for being pretty much the last film of the decade.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a film that I think I'd watch it again.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, maybe pay more attention this time, you know.
Well, this is definitely a hangover movie, isn't it?
Oh, very much a hangover movie. You don't think about it. It's on in the background.
Yeah.
You're enjoying it. You enjoy the bits of it. You look up to see Stallone say stuff like Rambo's a pussy or
just look at boobs.
Or just look at, Terry Hatcher running.
Stop bringing her up. Stop bringing her up. I'm too old for this.
Oh, folks, if you could see what I can see.
I can't see. But, oh, yeah, sorry.
Before we let you know what we thought of it as well, get in touch. Let us know what you thought of this film before we give you a score. But you can do that in a variety of ways. So, Darren, you can email us at...
Podcaster. Why'd you tell you fucker. you leave it a few weeks and then you ask me... podcast@80sadventure.com.
Excellent. And on Twitter?
You can send us a twat on Twitter at 80s Adventure.
That's, yeah, very good. Yeah. Facebook?
Facebook, we're on, again, 80s Adventure.
Yes, we are.
We're not on Shitcock or anything like that.
No, we're not. No, not. We're too old.
Or any of the other crap.
So, yeah, that was it. So I guess we need to give it a bit of a score, don't we?
I guess so, yeah. Yeah. See, again, I'm torn with this. I say that every week. But I enjoyed the film.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of great bits in it. It's very 80s. It's really over the top, fantastic.
It's completely
action, bollocks. 80s. But there's no quality to it. But I like it. So yeah. I'm going to give it a 6.
Do you know what? Ditto.
Really?
Yep, 6. Oh, it's a good film. Worth watching. Bit of fun.
Loved it. I absolutely loved it. But I know it is a bit crap as well.
Yeah, well, you know, why not? So, I was thinking we're going to sign off then, but no.
Oh,
so
as Matt alluded to earlier, we record these things a few weeks in advance.
Mm.
So we're now sort of...
Next week will be Halloween.
Yeah, we're sat at the beginning of the month, but we're now talking about films at the end of the month. So I'm guessing we're going to do a little bit of a scary movie.
Yes, we are. So, Darren, you clearly don't know what next week's is, do you?
I have no idea. I do.
So, one, the tagline... Two, oh, whoa, whoa.
Sorry.
The tagline for next week is...
Yeah.
If Nancy doesn't wake up screaming, she won't wake up at all.
Ooh.
And it's a film I've never seen.
Too red is coming for
Spoilers.
Ruiners. Ruiners. Wowzers.
Well, listen, folks, we'd like to thank you for joining us again on... Well, Darren wouldn't, but I would like to thank you for joining us again on our 80s adventure. So we've been lots of people have been getting in touch, and actually, it's just nice that people are listening. So thank you very much, folks.
Thank you very much.
Right. Well, I suppose that's it until next week. I've been Matt.
And I am Darren.
Cheers-y. Cheers-y.